Again, a very good morning to you. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you, Michelle?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you. Lovely, glorious weather we've got at the moment.
It's brilliant, isn't it? So as we discussed last week, we've got five collection services, five streams of waste collection. Four of the five are running the black bag and the brown bin and the food waste and all that sort of stuff. Glass was the fifth. And the good news is that from the 28th of April, we're going to restart that. So that's from next week.
Brilliant.
So what I would ask, just to caveat that, Michelle, is people will obviously have accumulated a lot of bottles.
Yep.
Not only because it's not being collected, but like, what else have people been able to do? I've seen bargain booze have had a queue out most nights.
Yep.
But what I'd ask is that just put your glass out just in the red container. Don't put boxes out full of glass because it will just overload the first collection. So bear in mind we're dealing with a backlog. So please just put the glass in the red box and we'll collect it next week. And then we'll try and even out the backlog over the next couple of weeks going forward, if that's okay. If people out there listening wouldn't mind doing that, that would be very helpful.
VE Day, it's going to be a virtual celebration, and you've got an appeal, haven't you?
Yeah, so what we're looking to do, absolutely. Look, I mean, VE, 75th anniversary of VE Day, you know, we've got great weather, but of course, under the circumstances, gatherings are banned and all that sort of stuff. So we want to acknowledge it as best we can, so we're going to do sort of some online celebration of it. Sounds a little bit different, but actually what we're looking to do is put a huge sort of video montage together. And what we're looking for really is people who, you know, perhaps older people in Brentwood. I was talking to my neighbour last week. He was actually born in Brentwood during the war and has got some childhood memories of it. So we're looking for people who've got memories, looking for people who've maybe got photographs, people who might want to make a comment, even do a little vignette on a video, to really just try and recall what VE Day was about and the Second World War was about in Brentwood back 75 plus years ago. You know, we had Americans billeted over here at the time, and my neighbour was telling me his recollections of that as a boy. They were billeted near Crown Street in Brentwood, and a lot of American servicemen went into people's homes in and around Brentwood. That's how they were accommodated.
Yeah.
So memories like that would make it really interesting. So if people have got something they'd like to contribute and are willing to put something forward or maybe even appear on a video, some of the older generation, if they're able to do that and willing to do that, then we've got an email address that I'm going to read out. I'll do it twice so people can pick up on it, but it's brentwoodve75@gmail.com.
Yep.
So that's brentwoodve75, or one word, @gmail.com. Get in touch. Please get in touch before April the 29th. If you've got something great you'd like to contribute, a memory, a story, a recollection, a photograph, anything like that, then please get in touch on that email address. To another service we provide that I've had some queries on, which is grass. We had to take some of our staff off some of our other frontline services, grass cutting, to support the reduction in staff that we'd experienced in the waste collection.
Yep.
And we're starting to come out the other side of that. I'm having a review next week about our grass cutting. Now, grass cutting on large open spaces has been happening, on open fields, cemeteries, it's been happening. Verges, I want to try and get that back up to speed, but that's one of the discussions I'm having. But grass cutting in and around our communal areas, so in our sort of in and around our tenants and housing estates, we just need to be careful about that still because of social distancing. So, you know, there's close to community grass cutting, and then there's the more spread out stuff.
Yep.
So we're starting to go back to it. I've had a conversation this morning. We are aware of it. We know the grass is growing. But in the scheme of things, if people could bear with us, you know, there are crisis situation, people are losing their lives. I've had a couple of emails saying, when's the grass going to be cut?
Yeah,
I get it, but we're all about prioritisation. So just so people know, it's not off the radar, we're not ignoring it, but we're just trying to make it work with everything else that's going on. Okay.
This question is coming from Tony on the Brentwood Open Facebook page. Do the council have a plan to deal with the increase in fly tipping and rubbish in the borough's country lanes? The new trend is to use disposable gloves and masks, and they're being disposed of by the curbside parking sites on the country roads, and it said it's particularly bad in Little Worley.
Yeah, Tony's right. I've discussed that with our guys last week, said, have you noticed there's a new type of litter, and that is rubber gloves. I've had it happen, and my neighbours, the guys are doing deliveries, putting it through your letterbox, peeling their glove off and chucking it on your driveway or on your footpath. I mean, yeah. That's not kind of the idea, is it?
Mm.
So, do we have a plan at fly tipping? Not changed. If it gets fly tipped, we clear it up. Mm. If we catch them, we find them. So, that's what we do. We've had to clear up an increment in some fly tips around the borough at the moment, in light of what I've just said around waste collection, grass cutting. It's all adding to the workload. You know, I can't think of the right word to say on the radio, but we don't really appreciate people fly tip when we're under pressure.
Yeah.
In terms of litter picking on the streets, especially around the lanes, the place where Tony's described, yeah, Tony, we get it. But again, it's about the resource to get out there and do it. It's always a strain. I've said it before on the radio. We cannot pick up litter at the rate people drop it. And at the moment, that's probably truer than ever. But once we try and get back to a normal pattern where we have dedicated street operatives that have a full map of all of the roads in town, but we have to rotate around them. So if I litter pick, you know, Hatch Road today, it won't get picked again for 6 months because there's all the other roads in between. So that's just the way it works. We are aware of it. The rubber gloves, I'd appeal to any delivery guys that are out there, don't chuck your rubber gloves on people's property or on the footpath. It's defeating the object. Take it back to your van and drive off with it and dispose of it sensibly.
Yeah.
That's all I can say, really, Michelle.
Okay. Thank you for that. A question in on Twitter from Simon. It's got, why does Chris not use Twitter?
Because I can't be bothered. I'm too busy to go on Twitter and share my thoughts. I mean, look, I make a bit of time out to come on the radio once a week and we'll discuss anything you want particularly, but I'm far too busy to go on Twitter and do whatever Twitter does, because to me it's completely unproductive waste of time. What I also know about Twitter is I avoid it for this reason. I see a lot of baiting going on, a lot of pointless conversations.
Yeah.
And why would I get involved in that? I'm too busy doing stuff to waste my life engaging with people or sharing pointless thoughts that I might have. So I avoid it. The best way to avoid wasting your time is avoid Twitter, frankly. That's my opinion on it. So sorry.
I quite like it.
No, that's it. Well, why would I?
The point I think that's being raised here is that people don't have access to you, which I have to say I don't agree with, because I've had dealings with the council and put questions to you that you have answered, so that I wouldn't say that is true. Just because you're not on Twitter doesn't mean people can't get in contact.
You're being polite. I'll go a step further. That's absolute rubbish.
Yeah.
Okay? So, I've got a mobile phone number that's on the council's website. I've got an email address that's on the council's website. I've got a postal address that people can get to me on. I come on the radio just about every week.
Mm.
Anybody who ever emails me with something sensible, then I will always reply to them. Sometimes it might take a day or two while I'm backlogging through loads of stuff as I'm doing now.
Yeah.
But invariably, so to say I'm not contactable, I'd love to use a stronger word, but obviously Ofcom won't allow it. It's rubbish.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
So, and by the way, if the people out there, the person who's listening who loves writing the anonymous crappy letters, sorry, I have to say it now, to the town hall, if you've got something sensible to say, engage with me. I'll always, even if you have a difference of opinion, if you put your name and your phone number and an email address, we'll have some dialogue.
Mm.
But don't send me anonymous garbage. It's bordering hate mail, some of the stuff I get. I really can't stand it.
Mm.
But that's part of that. But equally, that's part of the package, so I shouldn't complain, should I?
Just have to say, Chris used the word there. I do have to apologise if anybody was offended by that, but it wasn't intentional.
Because some people just, you know, I've got nothing better to do, and I've got lots of things better to do. So that's the short answer.
Lovely. Right, that sorted that one out. Now let's talk about.
Let's not go there again.
Well,
as plainly as I possibly could have done, I think.
Yes. Now, St George's Day.
So, yeah, St George's Day was a bit muted yesterday. Not a huge amount to say about it, but what we did do was at least we got the George Cross up outside the town hall.
Yeah.
And we took a photo. We published it on social media, and it's a shame, you know, we got these sort of national days that we normally like to recognise and do a bit more with, and we couldn't really. So I know actually some friends of mine all got together and did a virtual St George's Day dinner, and I'm sure some other people did similar things to celebrate it.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, isn't it? You know, like I say, we talk about VE Day 75 on the 8th of May, just about doing it differently.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe some people didn't notice it on St George's Day yesterday, but we tried to do our small gesture as a council to acknowledge that it was.
Now, planning for recovery, what can you tell us? What are the updates?
So, it's interesting. So, as you know, we get on a call every week with our business community, a conference call, and we've been going through the process of sort of talking things through and doing a round robin and getting an update as to where things are. And, of course, as we went into this period, you know, the updates were changing literally each week.
Mm.
But now we're sort of 5 weeks in, and we all know which shops are closed. We know most of the shops are closed. We know which ones are open, and we've kind of reached that level that in this new world of COVID-19 shutdown that, you know, we get it now after a few weeks.
Mm.
So what we need to do really is look at how we come out of it. And the thing we discussed on a call earlier this week together was, you know, what we do know is that online retail has been a threat to the high streets for years.
Yeah.
And we hear people talking about empty units and stuff like that. And I think we've got to be mindful that more people have shifted to online retail in the last 5 weeks than ever before. There's probably been a massive boost. I haven't seen the stats, or if there are any yet, but you'll have seen a massive uptick in people buying stuff online, stuff being delivered.
Mm.
You know, businesses have adapted to go online and to get into delivery mode. People normally walk in their shop, the shop's closed, so let's deliver it.
Yeah.
And all these guys have done some fantastic adaptations, but if you think about it, what they've adapted to do is because the high street's closed.
Mm.
If we continue in that adaptive style, the high street could be further under threat than it has been before.
Yeah.
So we need to think about what we can do. Do we, you know, we talk about Brentwood Open. Brentwood Open on Facebook has been a great tool. It's got nearly 4,000 followers, possibly more now because it changes every day, where people can go there, and it's Brentwood is open for business, but using Facebook to promote the fact it is.
Yeah.
You contact the retailers, they'll contact you, they'll deliver you something, whatever happens.
Mm.
And if people get used to buying in that way, how does that leave the high street? So we've got to really think hard about that, because online has just accelerated like never before.
Yeah.
Will it fall back to the previous level that it was before COVID-19? Probably not. Probably will go back a little bit. But here's the overriding message that I think we need to get out there, and this is about planning for recovery, is that our high street and our retailers, our grocers, our farm shops, our supermarkets, they've been there for us to make sure we can get food during this period. And when we come back to normal, let's not forget them, and let's make sure we're there for the high street, and let's support our local businesses.
Mm.
So that's the message we've got to get across as we go into recovery phase. Mm. So that's it really, Michelle. A lot of work to be done on that. We were doing work on high street anyway with the assistance of Savills.
Mm.
And again, a lot of work we had going on is still there, but it now takes on perhaps a more urgency, more of an urgency rather, perhaps a different dimension. But the theme is still the same.
Yeah.
We need to support our high streets, our town centres, to keep them vibrant.
Mm.
And let's repay when we get back to normal and start showing some support for our high street in the way that we've shown support for our retailers, but through online channels.
Yeah, I think most of it, people at the moment, if they had a choice to go onto the high street, they would be out there in droves because you miss it. You miss the window shopping. You miss just browsing, or maybe you're out with your mum or your sister or your friends, or you have a coffee.
Yeah,
and it's all those things that. And Brentwood is a lovely high street. It really is a lovely high street.
Yeah.
You know, with a really good amount of shops there as well, and loads of, you know, your restaurants and your pubs. So you know, hopefully people will want to go back out. I think we do order certain things online because it's easy. Obviously at the moment we don't have a choice, but I still think getting in your car or getting on the bus, going into a lovely town centre, and you make a bit of a, you know, a couple of hours of it, it's lovely. Even men enjoy shopping, come on Chris.
Well, for certain things,
yeah.
You know,
Valentine's Day, birthday cards, that's it.
Yeah, drills, shovels.
Well, Christmas Eve is when you see them in. What about the business grants? What is it up to now? Because I think it was up to, was it 600 last week, businesses? And what's the figure now?
So the update there is 809 businesses now have received it,
You did, yeah.
Have received grants totaling 11.3 million pounds.
Right.
That's how much money we've distributed and got into the bank accounts. of 809 businesses. So it's a tremendous effort.
Yeah.
I think of all the businesses that were eligible, I heard a stat earlier in the week, we're around about 60%. We've got the money too. That's probably gone up a little bit more since I heard that update. It might be over 60% now.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're over halfway. There's still a fair bit to do. But to get 11.3 million into 809 business bank accounts has been a really fantastic effort from the team at the council.
Yeah.
And I know the businesses that have received it, I get really grateful emails every day, whether they're businesses. I had one from Cricket Club the other day saying they were really pleased they got the money, and this just helps them through the period. This is about this recovery. This money is there to get you through this 2 or 3 months, whatever it is, downtime.
Yeah.
So that when you've managed to get yourself through, you've covered your bills, so when you arrive at the other side of this, we can open the door to the shop and then get back to trade. And that's why I repeat what I say again, it's so important that people who live in Brentwood, when those shop doors open, actually start going through them and using all our local businesses again.
And just with the business grant, don't have to pay it back. That's great. Great news. The great news. Now, food donations, this is the last bit we're going to cover. And what's been happening with that in Brentwood?
So lots of work going on. I went into the town hall for the first time a little while yesterday, and some of the volunteers, I'm not going to say we came together because we didn't come, we kind of were in the same building, but we're all spaced out. And it was good to see people from Brentwood Mutual Aid, Brentwood Residents Action Group, Manor Meals. We all got in the room where we had this food warehouse done, and we took some photographs that you'll probably see go out in the press and online in the next couple of days. So we, as you remember, Michelle, when we first started out at this, we did this sort of real push to get food donations in the first weekend before the shutdown happened. And we still got some of that food left, but it's starting to dwindle. And like I say, we've got 2 weeks left that we know of this shutdown. Who knows, it could be extended further again in 2 weeks' time. People can still make food donations at the town hall. We're not going to go out and collect it the way we did, because that's too much interaction with people and it goes against the social distancing. But if you've bought a bit of extra food, couple of extra cans, whatever it is, food, non-perishable stuff, so it's got a shelf life, then you can take that to the town hall, and there's some signs saying food donations, and outside the main door we've got some crates and people can put stuff in. So it was interesting, having seen the food supply 4 or 5 weeks ago when we started, it was huge. It's probably down to about a fifth of what we had originally, so we probably need to think about topping that up. Because we don't know how long we're going to be in shutdown, and some people clearly are still finding it difficult to get to shops. So people like Daily Bread Cafe, Manor Meals, Bragg, again, Brentwood Mutual Aid, these guys are all out there doing deliveries, and they've got volunteers doing deliveries, whether it's food, whether it's prescriptions they've picked up for people who needed those. There's lots of good work going on, and you know, that's the great thing about this, you know, that's one of the positives, where people have come together and done this and shown real community spirit. But there could well be a need to do this a bit longer. So, there's a little appeal there. Food to the town hall. If you've got some spare, non-perishable, you'll see where to drop it off, and that would be appreciated.
In the last week, definitely since Monday, there are more people out in their cars, and there are more people out in the street. I've noticed it because I come up to Doddinghurst Road, and the roundabout was normally clear, and there's been traffic every day this week. So, the message is still stay at home, one walk a day, don't go out.
You know, it is still that. You know, the message is still the same as it was when we went into the first week of lockdown. You know, we're in the situation we're in because government and scientific advice tells us that's what we need to do to get this contagion suppressed. So, again, we protect our NHS and help save lives. So, yeah, I've noticed that as well. Probably says, I don't think more people have just, I don't know know why it is, but you can guess, and there's no point in guessing, but I think anecdotally you can kind of see there's more people moving about. I would just say to you, to everybody, that week five is still the same as week one. So, you know, let's not remember that people are getting ill and dying from this. Let's not forget it. So if you keep that in perspective, I think some people just feel it's gone on a long time and it feels normal, the sun's out, you know, it hasn't come to my door, so, but try and not get into that mindset is what I would say.
Yep. Definitely, definitely. Well, it's been lovely to talk to you. Thank you very much for answering all the questions that come in as well, from people that put them up on Facebook and Twitter. That's always appreciated.
Yeah,
and
no doubt there'll be a Twitter storm that I'll be unaware of, given my comments. But that's fantastic.
I'm on Twitter.
Yeah, well, you can tell me what happens. No, in fact, don't tell me because I've sucked into it. I don't want to go there.
No, don't go on Twitter. Don't do it.
No, I'm avoiding it.
Thanks very much, Chris, and we'll talk to you again next Friday.
Thanks again to Phoenix FM, Michelle, for allowing people to come on and just update them as to the situation we're in. So that's appreciated.
Lovely.